everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Piers Morgan, Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. And check it out. You're looking live. President Donald Trump on his way back to Trump Tower as the first full day of his criminal hush money trial wraps. And just moments ago, the former president talked after the trial. He said after spending his day locked inside a Manhattan courtroom, he had some things to say. Today, Trump asked to be excused for his son Barron's high school graduation, but was denied. The judge warning Trump that he could be arrested if he skips out on a day.
That I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be. It's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about.
96 prospective jurors getting sworn in, at least 50 of them dismissed right away because they could not be seen as impartial. And only 18 will eventually remain for the unprecedented first criminal trial of a former president and leading candidate for the White House. Donald Trump will have to be physically in court every single day in a trial that could last until June, which is 1 month before the RNC officially starts. Many legal analysts ripping apart the foundation of the case, arguing that Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg should never have pursued it in the first place.
Everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. They took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. And it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Let's get caught up on what everyone thinks about this, starting with you, Judge, if you could give us your take.
First of all, to go off of what Jonathan Turley was saying, the Department of Justice refused to go forward. The Federal Election Commission refused to go forward. Cy Vance, the DA, refused. Alvin Bragg, the DA, refused. And then Mark Pomerantz, who's a mean-spirited individual, decided to write a book, embarrass Alvin Bragg, and Alvin Bragg then brings the charges. Jonathan's right. This is an expired misdemeanor bootstrapped by a federal crime. We don't know what the federal crime is. I don't know what the bill of particulars says. I don't even know why this thing is going forward. But I want to say something, Dana, that I haven't heard anybody say. I was a DA, and the way you bring and try cases is you try them based upon what should go first. In New York State, and I've spoken to several DAs about this, in New York State, people in jail get a priority in terms of timing. A person who's charged with a violent crime gets a priority. So think about the fact that we are backlogged because of COVID. And I'm not talking about the extension because of COVID of the statute of limitations, but because of the backlog, every major DA's office in New York State is trying cases, violent felony cases from 21 in 2022. They are not trying cases where the defendant is not in jail and where it's not a violent crime. And yet you come to Manhattan, which has four times the caseload of the DAs that I spoke with, and they're taking a case out of order where the defendant is not in jail. It's not a violent crime because they want to make sure that they can parade Donald Trump as a convicted felon in front of the American people. And the idea of a speedy trial is not for the prosecution. It's for the defense. And you couple this with the violation, the discovery violation of 30,000 pages of information that they should have had 6 months to review. They gave him 2 weeks. This is all an effort to make sure that Donald Trump does not run for office in a positive way.
And then he has, you know, he gets denied the opportunity to go and see the son's graduation. He can't campaign. And maybe that was part of the plan all along.
You mean to get out of the graduation?
No.
Very clever. They're very long and very boring. I think, you know, it would be refreshing to see the other side reframe this honestly. Like last week, Bill Maher was talking about abortion and he said, it's murder, but I'm okay with it.
Yep.
You could despise that, but it was honest from a liberal. So there, it would be nice to hear a Democrat get honest here and say, we get it. This case is bogus, purely political, but we're okay with it, right? We're just trying to bring Trump down or we'll lose the election. That's just admit it. Our campaign strategy is to eliminate his campaign strategy. I go back to what I said on Friday about OJ, that travesty of justice. It revealed that what is outside the court matters more than any evidence inside. We saw, what, 50 of the jurors dismissed out of 96? So the location of the trial, right? If that didn't matter, then why the resistance to move it? And why are you seeing so many people drop out? Because it mattered more than the evidence to the people doing this. What about the biases of the prosecutors who are obviously actively Democrats? Media didn't want to report, still doesn't report that at all. Why? Because that matters to them more than the evidence. Yeah, this is not a federal crime, expired misdemeanor. The strangest thing about this to me is Michael Cohen being like the lead witness. Mm-hmm. The person in charge of giving the legal advice to the defendant is a witness to the crime, as well as being the responsible party for the crime. It's like the hospital suing the patient for a surgeon's malpractice. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to me. It is incredible. And also, I just have, just because I love how the media is just indulging this, I wonder how many men and women in the media are cheering this hush money charge, have signed non-disclosure agreements, which are exactly the same thing. You paid money not to divulge information to the press. In the last 20 years, the entertainment industry, media, politics have been doling out NDAs like there were Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. So I just find that kind of like, this is not a crime, but it's a hypocritical one when the media thinks it is.
Jesse, did you have a chance to digest all of this today to bring us your brilliant thoughts?
Well, those coupons are great. 50% off sometimes.
But you always leave them at home.
You never bring them.
Yep. You get there to the, you get there, and you realize, and you go, should I go back home?
It's like the bags at the supermarket now that you have to bring, and you never remember to bring, and then they gouge you. What are we talking about again? Alvin Bragg is arguing that Donald Trump should have paid with campaign funds Stormy Daniels and filed it with the FEC. You don't think Alvin Bragg would have charged Donald Trump with the crime for using donor money to pay off Stormy Daniels? He's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. You're not allowed to use campaign money for personal expenses. It is illegal for politicians to spend campaign money on haircuts, plastic surgery, to make themselves look better for the election, golf club memberships. Those types of things that make you more appealing before an election, you can't use campaign money for.
Ask George.
Those are personal expenses. Mm-hmm. What is more personal than your marriage? This is all this is about. This is a personal expense. Bill Clinton, when he was president, paid off Paula Jones. Mm-hmm. Is Alvin Bragg saying that he should have used donor money for that? Of course not. He used private money. Because that was a private matter. This is the most corrupt prosecution. The judge, you had everybody hits on this. This is a guy who ran on getting Donald Trump. He's a Democrat. The judge is a Democrat donor. His family's getting paid by the Biden campaign, got paid by Adam Schiff. And the jury pulls 90% Democrat. And the star witness is a stone cold felon and a liar. And the jury pool is basically like the OJ jury pool. You're going to have people trying to wiggle into that jury and send a message, just like they did with the juice. Now, Donald Trump's eyeballing all of these prospective jurors, which is the best part. He's like, ultra mega. And so this is going to be fun to see him kind of like size up these jurors. And the fact that if this judge says he can't attend Barron's high school graduation, he wins in a landslide.
Well, he's already said it because Donald Trump right now is a defendant in a criminal case. He will issue a bench warrant if the defendant does not appear for trial and have him arrested.
Yeah, he'll win California.
Do you think that any of this, what we are saying here, is crazy?
No,
are we
spot on?
This is one of the most pathetic, petty, self-harming acts of political suicide I've ever witnessed. Donald Trump should go to his son's graduation.
Mm.
Right? Ooh. Go to the graduation. Honestly, if you're watching President Trump, just go to the graduation. Every parent in America, whether they like you or hate you, will go, yeah, I'd have done that too. Because this case is utterly ridiculous. I always thought if this was the one that came up first, there are plenty of reasons to criticize Trump. There are plenty of cases down the line where there's probably a more serious case against him. This is completely nonsensical to me, that you would take a former president of the United States and you would put him in a courtroom over hush money to potentially a one-night stand with a porn star. And if he's found guilty, he may get a 10-year prison sentence. Have you all lost your minds, America? What a demeaning way to treat a former president anyway. But secondly, if you're on the left, why would you think this would possibly work? Why would you not think that what you're doing here is going to almost guarantee Donald Trump wins the next election? The only thing that could absolutely guarantee it is if he's found guilty and put in a prison cell. Because at that moment, Trump wins by a landslide. This is a farcical case. And if anyone on the left is watching this and doesn't agree, you have lost your minds. Take it to the bank.
All right. Hope they can take a telling. That's well, a good that's a good British phrase. I just threw it in there.
Yes. Indeed. I just find I don't know why they think it's going to work.
Do you know that's a
phrase? Never heard that. No.
It is a British phrase. All right. He told them don't, but then they did it anyway. Iran strikes Israel despite President Biden's many warnings.
I've never heard it.
I brought in Ensure Max Protein with the...
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Old Joe tried to tell him, don't.
I have one word, don't. Don't.
What is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't. Don't, don't, don't. 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 Don't.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
But all the radical mullahs heard was, don't listen to this old fart. Iran attacking Israel with 300 drones and missiles. Thankfully, the Iron Dome swatted them out of the sky, and there was only one injury. There hasn't been a military flop this embarrassing since Piers Morgan and his crew lost the Revolutionary War. Israel now weighing its response to the historic Iran attack, while the White House cooks up new ways to blame it on the Orange Man.
It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal. And now Iran is so much dramatically closer to a potential nuclear weapon capability than they were before Mr. Trump was elected.
Has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region. When we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region.
So, Dana, so it's quite an accomplishment to send hundreds of projectiles and not kill anyone. You know, it's either deliberate, like as a face-saving exercise, or they're bad, or it's the amazing Iron Dome. That's our nickname for Jesse, by the way. But what is going on here?
I think a couple of things. One, I don't think you send that kind of armor without intending to hurt people.
Right.
There is a 7-year-old girl who is fighting for her life there, but it was intended to do a lot more harm. I think all of those things can be true, and we can be very glad that, one, we had good allies that were helping us. It was the UK, of course. Thank you, Piers. But also the Jordanians, the Saudis, and the UAE offered intelligence. So that's a positive, right? The other thing is the technology worked. Our defense system worked. Here's something that we haven't really talked enough about, which is where does Iran get most of its material and most of its defense weapons? From China. Mm. Guess what? It was made in China. Mm. And that's exactly the kind of weapons that they have. So it's a humiliation, I believe, for China and for Iran. And maybe it will have people rethink some things. I thought Peter's question was an excellent one, because where have we heard this word don't before? What did Kamala Harris, the border czar, tell the migrants? Don't come. What did they tell the Taliban? Don't retaliate against the women. What did they say to Russia about going into Ukraine? They said don't, except for that a minor incursion would be okay. So the don't word is not working. But the other thing that's happening in the administration is they're being very cute to try to have it all different ways when it comes to the communications. First of all, you have Biden, who would publicly praise Netanyahu and say, mission accomplished, we have your backs, no problem. At the same time, on background to reporters, they say they better not do anything more. Mm. And they undermine Netanyahu and they prioritize Iran's feelings. And then, because that's on background, they send the only person who can articulate a message from the administration out on the Sunday shows to say, it was good, it was great, we're on top of things, don't worry about it. But in the meantime, somebody in that shop is undermining both him, the president, and Netanyahu by the leaks about how they want him to back off.
Yeah, Jesse, it is weird that after this unprecedented attack, it's historic, it's kind of like we're all good in a way. It's like, you know, I think it's the Jerusalem Post is claiming that Biden was aware and urged and was okay with a measured response from Iran. I don't know if that's real.
Yeah, so after the Israelis took out the generals at the Damascus embassy, they had to respond, Iran, or else they'd look weak. So they called their Swiss pals because they're the conduit. And so, because we don't talk to the Iranians, and they say, yeah, we're going to launch this many drones, this many missiles at this time, and here are all the flight paths. And they told, and then the Swiss tell us. And so we were able to get all of our people in position to intercept, and the Israelis were able to intercept all this. And what do you know? Hundreds of missiles and drones and not a single fatality. And then Iran comes out afterwards and goes, mission accomplished. That was a great success. Now we're done. So it was the most highly choreographed, well-produced war I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an expensive way for the Iranians to save face, and pretty risky, too.
Yeah.
But I guess now it looks like Netanyahu's not going to retaliate because he's going to show a little restraint. And now he's just going to keep hammering Hamas in Gaza while the rest of the world's saying, OK, thanks for showing restraint. But he's got to be happy that the United States, I mean, he took out these Iranian generals and the United States came in and just defended Israel for the first time ever. Pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Pierce, do you think it was also to check on our resolve? Again, Jesse, it's rare that he's right.
It's the Iron Dome.
Yes, right? But it's a risky move to save face and also to test our resolve by sending these. Do you think it was just a failure? Or?
Well, I would say far more significant than the United States coming to help Israel, which I would have expected, as I would the UK. I think it was the speed that Jordan and particularly Saudi got involved. Because if you're Iran, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but let's just paint a picture here of what may be going on behind the scenes. Iran sees the Abraham Accords, hates it. Iran sees that down the line Saudi Arabia want to join the normalization with Israel, hates that even more. So suddenly we have October the 7th, where we now know there was serious funding from Iran to Hamas, and it's on an epic scale, which is intended to goad Israel into potentially a massive over-response and potentially drag America in. And now when that hasn't quite worked how they hoped, you now have 300 missiles and rockets heading over straight into Israel in an unprecedented action. You put it all together and you've got Iran, who is facing what they think is the ultimate nightmare, which is normalization of a number of major Middle Eastern countries with their hated enemy, Israel. How do they stop it? Well, the only way they can really stop it is if they're successful in goading Israel and America into a full-fledged war in the region. And that's why when I saw what happened, I posted, and it was a bit controversial, the post, but I just said, I just think Israel should show a bit of restraint. That doesn't mean you don't respond. It means you take your time and you're smart about how you execute a response. Because I think what Iran wants to do is have a full-fledged conflict in the region which will destroy all this normalization, rip up the Abraham Accords. And I would like Israel and the United States and everybody else involved to just look at what Saudi did in relation to this and think, this is the way we should all be going. Mm. We should be pursuing normalization in the region. And it was great that despite everything that's happened in Gaza, Saudi Arabia was straight in to help Israel when these rockets came in.
Mm. Judge, what do you think of Piers's crazy conspiracy?
I think it's great that the Arab nations were supportive. But what I think is significant here is the fact that, you know, people are saying again to Israel, you know, nobody really died other than the 7-year-old girl, an Arab girl, in fact, who may die as a result of her injuries. So let's be proportionate again. Look, the fact that Iran launched 300 drones, cruise, and ballistic missiles, they targeted Israel, and they didn't make it, is not an excuse to say, oh, let bygones be bygones. You know what it'd be like if I'm the DA and somebody gets a gun, picks a victim, shoots the gun doesn't work, that I'm not going to charge attempted murder and I'm going to walk away? This requires a response by Israel. And Israel is not going to go quietly because Iran will never go quietly. And I'll tell you what else. When Israel strikes, they should strike the military installations. They should strike, there's an island called Khark, K-H-A-R-K island, Iran's principal oil exporter. Take that out too. Because Joe Biden, by giving, $10 billion last week to Iran, is funding this war. And the fact that Iran is like, they're clueless. They can't even get, if their stuff is made in China, they can't even hit anything that isn't repelled by us. Doesn't mean that they're not going to continue to fight to destroy Israel and America. And Joe Biden, as for his don't, nobody listens to him or Kamala or anywhere else. And by the way, now is the time, you know, the strategic, the petroleum reserve is at the lowest point ever. And we're going to start seeing the prices go up for oil. Maybe it's time to hit that oil on that end of the world.
There you go. It does feel like the best and only time right now to get to break this business model with Iran. You know, it's like October 7th. This is the correct response. Up next, pro-Hamas lunatics blocking traffic, cheering on Iran, and offering death to America lessons.
I'm totally wired. I'm totally wired. I'm totally wired.
A good cup.
American lives, wanted line, cutting down Main Street.
Pro-Hamas lunatics are at it again, causing chaos in New York City and blocking traffic nationwide. The mostly peaceful protesters getting into a melee with cops on the Brooklyn Bridge. They shut down a highway leading to Chicago's O'Hare Airport, forcing travelers to walk their luggage across the road. They also block commuters in San Francisco by shutting down traffic for hours on the Golden Gate Bridge and chaining themselves to cars. Weary travelers forced to use the porta potty on the bridge. But that's just a taste of what's to come. Far left activists gathered in Chicago for Iranapalooza, holding a conference to discuss their plans to disrupt the Democratic National Convention. They cheered on Iran's attack on Israel while teaching others how to say death to America in Farsi.
Marba Israel!
Marba Israel!
Marba America!
Marba America!
Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago. In addition, there are reports of drones having been fired on Israel from Yemen and Iraq as well.
Wow. We talked about this last time we discussed this. Is this actionable? I mean, you now have hundreds of people chanting this and cheering on terrorist attacks.
First of all, I would like to say Piers has been here for about 32 minutes, and you've already changed your pronunciation of Hamas to Hamas. And I think that we will all follow your lead.
Okay.
Hamas, it is.
With you about how you could speak English.
It is very influential. So I think that all of these protesters, like the climate protesters, are the most unpersuasive people in the world. How many people who might have actually sympathized with them before the bridge today are now furious? I don't know what that is there. Wow. That's New York City. Okay, so we're watching this video of people being completely inconvenienced and actionable. Do you mean on the legal front? Yes, perhaps, especially when you block a bridge. And I'm sure the judge could talk more about that. I did want to mention this. There was a PBS poll that came out yesterday, and it showed Biden only has a 33% approval for his handling of Israel. And I think that's because he's gone so far out of his way to say to the far left and the people who live in Dearborn, Michigan, that I've got you, I hear you. And he's been so critical of Israel. And what's ended up happening is that he's prioritizing being friends with them and trying to make sure that he has their votes. And he is basically losing the support of Democrats who support Israel and are against terrorism and stupid protests.
Judge Jeanine, I believe the five will be in Chicago for the Democrat National Convention. Should we warn the pro-Hamas protesters that the judge will be in town, and if they try anything, they should watch out?
I used to have the grand jury behind me. I don't have that anymore. Look, you know, the amazing part of this is when you listen to these people, I mean, these are people who hate Trump because of the way he talks, and yet they're okay with death to America. I mean, when you think about the left of the Democrat Party, I mean, these progressives, and you know, I see them as self-loathing, self-hating. They hate the West. They hate America. They hate everything about it, and they're trying to inconvenience us. So here's the problem. We saw this on the West Coast, and it's happening on the East Coast now. This is a well-organized, well-oiled group, and it's a problem that we're not ahead of this. All right. We should have known about this. These people are joining somewhere to figure out how they're going to meet, what they're going to do, how they're going to connect. You know, some of them use that industrial glue like they used in Europe that connects them to the asphalt. And then the cops end up having to cut the asphalt road around them because they can't dislodge their hands. Mm-hmm. And now they've got their hands and they're joined together in a pipe that goes into the cars. I mean, this is very organized. And the fact that law enforcement, you know, maybe the FBI isn't on top of this and where it's going to happen, because this is stopping traffic. It's stopping commerce. It's stopping emergencies. This is a real problem. And if the FBI is still looking at parents and Catholics and everybody else, maybe they don't have time for this. But this is open on social media. It's easy to find this and stop it.
There was a lot of radical rhetoric from Muslims over at across the pond, as they say.
Yeah.
Are you seeing similar trends here?
Well, I mean, I remember when October the 7th happened, within 48 hours, at the end of the street where I live in West London, is the Israeli embassy. And a large crowd turned out. And I mistakenly assumed instantly that this was a pro-Israeli demonstration of support. It wasn't. It was a pro-Hamas demonstration of support for what they'd just done. And now you see the same thing happening after the Iranian strikes. And I would say to these people, you're very lucky that you can do this in a country like America or the UK. Try going to somewhere like the Gaza Strip and chanting death to Palestine and see how long you last there. And in relation to your point, Dana, about who they hope to convert to their cause, how many people stuck on these bridges do you think are going to say, you know what, that's persuading me. It reminds me of Greta Thunberg and her eco-warriors. You know, every time they do their stupid stunts, I go and buy automatically a barrel of oil. And because I just think it has the opposite effect to what they think it's going to have. So if I'm Netanyahu, if I'm the Israeli government right now, and I'm watching these scenes, I'm probably thinking, you know what, this is one of the best vote winners we could have, actually, for our cause, is these people chanting death to America when they are very lucky to be in America with the freedom to say what they're saying.
Greg Gutfeld.
These Hamas holes are the same people in a different uniform. These are the same people that cheered BLM riots, Antifa looting, the crime epidemic. Anything that subverted the society they are behind. So when they're saying death to America, they actually do mean it.
Oh, yeah.
This is a system that they believed is oppressive. And, you know, they are well organized. I mean, there are some very well done signs up there that just show up. And once the cities decide to stop babysitting and letting the cops do their job, start charging these people, sitting in a highway isn't public property, right? It's not public. It's not like a park. You can't sit there. So I think that what you're going to start seeing people take the law into their own hands, especially people that are in a desperate situation, mm-hmm. either have to get to the hospital or even have to get to a job interview.
Or to get to Fox.
Get to Fox. I throw somebody over the bridge if it's a short drop. But, you know, death to America is, by the liberal definition, hate speech. And if I said, go back to your own country, that would be xenophobia. But death to your country is somehow considered the voice of the oppressed. excuse me. But it's like, I want to just finish with, Tyra said something that was a great point. We were talking about OJ, goes back to OJ. The way the left defends Hamas sympathizers is no different than how the left defended OJ. Sure, they did bad things, but it's part of a larger conflict of oppressors and racism, which now you can see is excused everywhere. I'm sure they used it to justify killing Jews in the 40s. It's always about the historical context. They will justify anything, including killing you, Jesse. So
finally, someone made a great point on your show.
Oh,
it's about time.
How dare you?
Up next, it's the poll that's driving the liberal media insane. I've wasted on you.
Peace in the Middle East, economic prosperity for all, and a secure border. It's no surprise that Americans are having Trump nostalgia. A New York Times poll finds that just 25% of Americans view Biden's term as mostly good for America, compared to nearly half who view Trump's the same way. What do you say, Piers?
Well, you know, I always remind myself that if it hadn't been for the COVID pandemic, I think Trump would have won by a landslide in 2020. I mean, I think that completely changed everything, not least, of course, it created the economy, which was purring along very nicely. So I think that, you know, look, with Trump, I always think that he, and we're seeing it again now, the utterly insufferable way that the left go about dealing with Trump, the constant hysteria, the constant attempts to finish him off, bury him, stop him running, and so on and so on. In the end, that I think has the opposite effect, and it makes people think, well, actually, how bad was he? How bad was Trump? You know, he didn't go to war anywhere. He had the economy going pretty well. He had a big idea for dealing with the southern border, which he wasn't able to finish, but it seems a better idea than the poorest state of the border right now. And you put it all together, and if you could just remove Trump's rhetoric, which, of course, is part of his appeal, I get that. If you could take away the rhetoric, then you were left with a reasonably moderate Republican president who just got landed with the worst health crisis in 100 years.
Yep.
And all the impact of that, I think, in the end, cost him the election. So it doesn't surprise me, because right now you've got a president who, let's be honest, he can barely string a sentence together and can't stand on his own 2 feet, which is not that encouraging.
Okay. Consistent with my Toby Keith questioning, what do you think?
Judge, I think that the media has been trying to figure out why Americans like Trump. And they say, oh, well, it's because he's a cult leader. Oh, we want a dictator on day one. Oh, it's just a bunch of racist hillbillies. No, we just liked having more money and safety.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line.
Okay, Dana, what do you know?
What do I know? Okay, I believe that it wouldn't be surprising that the New York Times ended its entire polling division, because in the last year and a half, every time they have to come out with a poll, they're like, oh, my gosh. They have to, like, go get their eyes checked to make sure that the math is correct, because it keeps happening. President Trump is benefiting also from, I don't think people blame him for COVID. I think they blame China for COVID. And I think that they have pre-Biden nostalgia. And then Biden came in and he spent all of his capital on things that basically ran up inflation. And now he's having to pay the price for that. And President Trump benefits from something that you might have heard before, that time heals all wounds. Mm. It's another phrase.
Is it British?
All right.
I don't think so. Well, maybe.
This is Toby Keith. What do you like?
Oh, I got to say, I said it before, the further you get from Trump's presidency, the better it looks, which is why the Biden presidency always felt like the world's worst halftime show. Imagine a Super Bowl halftime show where the performer destroys the field. That's exactly what we're experiencing. Also, there is a nostalgia for Trump, but there's also a nostalgia for a grown-up vibe. You know, the values that come with being an adult, when men were men and could identify what a woman is, where crime is considered crime and a border is treated like a border. These are all adult concepts that adults understand, but children don't. Children throw tantrums, and then they demand things for their tantrums under the false guise of compassion. That's what you see on TikTok every day. So whether it's no bail or asylum or pronouns, we've had it. We need the adults to enter the room and say, go to your room.
So the oldest president of all time is a baby.
Exactly. How ironic is that?
Very ironic.
It's perfect. Ahead, stupid tourists are bolder than ever and destroying ancient rock formations.
Every American wants their dog.
Well, stupid tourists are causing a landslide of trouble. Check out these two blockheads destroying a delicate natural rock formation in Nevada by shoving wide slabs of million-year-old sandstone to the ground. And if caught, the vandals could face at least 6 months of some jailhouse rock. You know, Greg, there was a little girl up there with them who was shouting, Daddy, don't fall. When I think the rest of us were thinking, Daddy, fall, and hopefully be followed by one of the rocks.
I don't understand what they're doing, but, you know, he could get out of this. Just say the rocks have been here since slavery, and the rocks did nothing. So they are a symbol of white privilege and patriarchy, a solid formation reflecting the prejudice and oppression of a country that protects it. Those rocks need to come down and be replaced with a statue of Joy Reid.
Judge.
Well, the only thing I could tell you is obviously it's a crime. They face jail time. I think it's disgusting. It's dangerous. But see, here's the problem. The day that it occurred is not significant. If it were January 6th, we would know who they were by tonight.
Jesse, what should be done with these wastrels?
Well, as the Teddy Roosevelt of Fox and as someone who is at one with nature and also an avid hiker, I find it deplorable. Mm-hmm. And I want the chair. But also, as a guy, guys like to push stuff down. Mm-hmm. We like to roll things over and break stuff. So I can kind of see what they're doing.
Dana, I mean, as a parent, why would you want your little girl watching you just do this wanton act of stupid vandalism?
Well, maybe they'll find out that they were not sober. I could imagine that. And then maybe there'll be child endangerment that they could add to it
as well. Maybe they were going hiking.
Oh, that's right. That's the way to deal with it. Also, meanwhile, in Afghanistan, they've actually brought back stoning against women for offenses. They're lucky they don't live there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one more thing is up next.
Way to end that one.
Hey, you seeing this?
Time now for one more thing. Breaking news from The Five. Jessica Tarlov and her wonderful husband, Brian, have a new baby. It is a baby girl. This is, what's her name? I knew it was Teddy. Teddy Tarlov McKenna. I wanted to make sure I had it right. She was born Thursday, April 11th. She weighed 8 pounds, 4 ounces. She's 21 inches long. Adorable photos. She met her big sister, Cleo. And they had a wonderful time. I think these are such beautiful pictures.
So
and look
cute.
At that. That's my favorite picture. I think it's so great. Congratulations
Congrats.
To you. Enjoy your time with your baby. We can't wait to meet her and then to have you back. Also, Perino on Politics with Brian Brenberg on the economy and tax day. Brian Brenberg, such a crowd favorite.
Yes.
And Jesse, you're next.
Fox Corporation Chairman Emeritus Rupert Murdoch attended the 10th Breakthrough Prize Gala to celebrate achievements in science and math. The charitable foundation is dedicated to advancing knowledge of scientific and technological innovations to improve people's lives. Other notable people attending what's known as the Oscars of Science include Robert Downey Jr., Kim Kardashian, and Elon Musk.
I think we should celebrate breakthroughs in technology because they help make life better for people.
The Breakthrough Prize presents $3 million in prize money in the fields of life sciences, fundamental physics, and mathematics. Over the weekend, I was in Fort Myers, a lovely town, selling a book. Maybe you've heard of it, called Get It Together. Everybody came out, very festive outfits, and they did touch my hair. I got a little carried away with the hair touching. We don't need to rub your fingers down my scalp so aggressively. It could just be a tickle.
You signed that guy's head.
I did.
I would
usually don't sign men's foreheads, but it is what it is.
We have to hurry because Greg has to talk about a show.
Well, tonight on my show, we're going to have Mark Garagos talking about the jury selection of the Trump case. Now, Greg, you can promote your show.
I have to. Tonight, 10 p.m., Mike Baker, Tudor Dixon, Jim Florentine, Kat Timpf. You know, I was at that event, the science event. Food wasn't that great.
No?
No. I left early.
Would you rather have? We shall get you tomorrow, Piers, and the judge. That's it for us, everyone. Have a great night.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.